listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Spent most of my life in Aberdeen. Who would have known? Who would have known that a kid growing up in a small town in Alberta, Canada, would be spending his life, most of his life, on the west coast of Washington State. As a matter of fact, you need to know that when Sharon and I moved here, we had no intentions of staying beyond 2 years. As nice as Aberdeen is, as nice as Grays Harbor is, we had intentions of going to some other places. But how many know sometimes God stops you in your tracks? Says, this is the end of the road for you, bud. And that happened to be our experience. And it has been a joyful life just serving God in Grays Harbor and amongst this church family. So thank you for remembering us. It's been a joy of our life to serve here. I want you to take your Bibles, and I wanted to talk to you this morning about real worship. I think everyone in this room would agree that worship is a major part of our Christian journey. If you haven't drawn that conclusion, you haven't been reading much of the Bible. Because I believe you'll find that God arrests us, not only for a lot of other things, but at the top of the rung, on the ladder, is how we approach the throne room of God. The Bible has a lot to say about worship. As a matter of fact, it even makes a distinction between praise and worship. I was taught, and I think rightly so, that praise falls into the category of expressive adoration of God. And if you want to know what that might look like, just read Psalms 150 for starters. And then you can branch out from there and go in many different directions. It includes singing, a loud praise, instruments, clapping, dancing before the Lord, and I'm just scratching the surface when it comes to praise and worship unto God. I'm sure most of you would agree that worship falls into the category of a heart matter before the Lord. And worship takes us to intimate places with God. In our worship this morning, did you find yourself getting close to the Lord and finding yourself in a moment, in a time, in intimacy with the Lord and gratefulness to Him? Most churches today aren't able to experience the worship because their gatherings are more of an event than a worship service. And that being said, I'd like to think that we at Cornerstone Church are a people seeking the presence of God. And when we seek the presence of God as we gather corporately, we do so primarily to engage God in His Holy Spirit. And that is why we cannot predict anything in a meeting such as this, as a service such as this. And when the Holy Spirit descends upon us in worship, we can expect, though, the goodness of God to overtake us in many different ways. Signs and wonders, healings, salvation, the Holy Spirit baptisms, all are a part of being in the presence of God. That's normal to being in the presence of God. We've been saying lately, We want to welcome Jesus in the room, and we want him to stay in the room. In order for that to be the case, though, I think more has to happen before we get here in terms of preparation. Because it's all based on how we prepare our hearts to come before the presence of the Lord. In Tommy Tenney's movie, Esther, there's a line that has captured my attention in that story. And it's this: one day or one moment in the presence of God is worth everything. It changes everything. And I would like to think this morning that we are a people that hunger after the presence of God, but we should not be surprised when God changes and rearranges furniture in our life in his presence. We cannot stay the same in the presence of God, but it comes when we prepare ourselves to be in the presence of the Lord. When we allow anything to accumulate on the table of our hearts and minds, that is, anything that occupies our time and attention in a worshipful way, this now becomes a problem and becomes a barrier to real worship. The second commandment in the book of Exodus reminds us that we have a tendency to get ourselves distracted. It even identifies those distractions for us, and it calls those distractions idols. I want you to look at Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. And I'm going to read for you out of the English Standard Version. Track with me. Here's what we find. Scripture says, "You shall not make for yourselves a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them." Here's what you need to know about this scripture verse. That creating an idol is not carving or molding an image exclusively. More often, it's placing godlike values on something that can't possibly accomplish what God can do. That is an idol. That is a graven image. And whenever we worship what is created instead of the Creator, we end up with nothing but trouble. And I want to help you avoid trouble this morning. How many want to avoid landmines, so that we can be a people expressing real worship to the Lord? There's just too much competing for the place of God in our lives. And I'd like to offer to you what some of these idols may be, and some of them may actually surprise you. Now, these did not come from me. I'll tell you where I got this list. I'm going to give you five things. 100 people were interviewed and asked, "What competes or are barriers to worship in their lives?" And I'm going to give you the answers to what 100 people said. were barriers to worship. Would you like to know? Let me give you the first barrier to worship. But I'm not going to start at one. I'm going to start at five. And then when we get to number one, we'll have a drum roll, okay, for the one that really took top number. Number five barrier to worship are our families. How could that be? But we can let our children, our grandchildren, or even our spouses get in the place of God. Can I say, you know I will say, that Jesus said some strong things about family as it related to him and the purpose of God. Our families are our God-given and primary responsibility on the planet, which is why they can never come before the Lord. If we make them more important than the Lord in our life, we failed in the very thing that he has called us to model for them. So be very careful. You can't let family get between you and God, although family is important. Did I make myself clear? And that's the fifth barrier to worship. Let me unpack to you number four. Number four, these 100 people said, money and possessions are a barrier to worship. It's easy to worship things instead of God. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." For where your treasure is, Jesus said, there will your heart be also. I've got a birthday today. Thank you for acknowledging me. But I found out in these years, just a few decades that I've lived, that it's easy to accumulate things. Easy. And if these things stack up and become things that capture my heart, that can be a barrier. So when we worship God, we need to treasure him and recognize his worth. But if we set our hearts on our own treasure, that is our accumulation, whatever that might look like, it displaces God in our life. And you know what? We're in real trouble. We're in deep trouble. So that's number four. First was family, second money and possessions. Hey, by the way, can I stop there for a moment? You, for the most, you are believers in this room, and you have unbelieving friends, right? How many live their life for what I've just said now? Think about it. As good as families are, they're living for that entity. That for as good as, let me say, for as good as, your treasures are, and those things you've accumulated, as important as those are in this Western culture, how many know a good fire can take care of 90% of that? So, be careful. Let me give you number three, all right? I didn't make this list up. Don't blame me. Number three, barrier to worship for us are sports figures and celebrities. In other words, other people. We look to other people. And they crowd out the prime reason for why we're here. We worship people when we think, oh, if I could only be like him or her. Let me ask you, do you recognize the convicting accuracy of a TV program entitled American Idol? I have to say, one of my mom's favorite programs. But I have to say, Mom, you're dead wrong on this one. It's not where we base our lives, on the American Idol. What does that title suggest? People are worshiping other people, their talents, their gifts, and it breaks the heart of God. Number three. Number two, barrier to worship are our accomplishments. It's so easy to allow these fragile and temporary achievements to give our lives meaning and significance. These are the very good qualities that only God can supply and occupy in our life. How many know only He can give you significance? Only He can give you meaning in your life. Our accomplishments may be good and may attribute to the well-being of those around you, but they do not bring us significance that is eternal and lasting. So the center of our worship needs to be God Himself all day long. Okay? Okay, drum roll. This is what 100 people have said is a barrier to worship. Are you sitting down? Most of you are. Here it is. Ourselves. We ourselves are a barrier to worship. How often do our needs and wants become the highest pursuit? When we won't allow anyone, not even God, to get in the way of what we desire, we're worshiping the idol in the mirror. And it's so subtle, because in our culture, this is so common with all the self-centered stuff that we encounter. It's about us, and it's not about us, but we make it about us. Barriers to worship. So, let me say this. The discipline of worship begins way, way before we gather in this room at 10:30 on a Sunday morning. I want you to prepare your hearts for worship way before we gather Sunday morning. It's going to require maybe midweek adjustments. And I would hope even altering some of the gateways into your life, what you listen to, what you view, what you spend your time on, what captures your heart's attention, So that when we gather together and we come of like-mindedness, the anointing of the Holy Spirit rises to the nth degree because the people of God have come together with a heart to worship. Who knows what God can do in that kind of atmosphere? It's a deliberate act where we sweep our hearts clean and remove all the false gods that would claim our worship. And we gather with others in the presence of God and ask Him to take away every worthless thing. Everything that would crowd out God's rightful place. That is worship at its best. And it's where God allows us to experience His glory. Just giving you a little preview here this morning. Next week, I want to talk to you about the school of thanksgiving, gratitude, growing into a heart of gratefulness toward God. Would you stand at your feet with me this morning as we contemplate our worship? I don't want you to go out of this room totally discouraged if you had to check off all five boxes. But I know I've had to check off a box or two. That I can prepare my heart in a better way to worship. And I'm believing that God is doing that in all of our hearts today. To be true worshipers, biblical worshipers. I'm not going to define for you what you need to do in terms of worship. Let the Holy Spirit brood over your life and help you to become a real, true worshiper. Because my Bible says that God is calling for Himself true worshipers. Those that will worship Him in truth and in spirit. Can I explain what truth and spirit mean? It means I don't define the elements of worship. Truth means I will worship according to the Word. This is all truth. Okay? So God sets the parameters, I don't. So I want to align my life and my worship expression based on the Bible. So read your Bible. It'll define for you what God's expectations are relative to worship. That's worshiping according to truth. Worship in the Spirit is when we align ourselves with God's Word and we enter an atmosphere of the presence of God. Your spirit is caught up with the Holy Spirit. And you sense a quickening of God's Spirit with your spirit. Yes. Did you sense the presence of God? You lean over to someone. Do you sense God's presence? Somebody says to you, I don't know what you're talking about. That's a clue. You may lean the other way and talk to somebody. Hey, do you sense what I'm sensing? Yes, isn't that a wholesome sense of God's presence? So we experience the presence of God. It's something that we engage with other people in the goodness of God's Holy Spirit. We're caught up in worship. And it's easy when we offer to you the name of Jesus. So lift your hands. Kristen, would you lead us in the simple word of Jesus? And let's worship together. Sunday, I'm going to be speaking on gratitude. School of Thankfulness. Would you prepare your heart for next Sunday? Not only to experience the presence of God, but to bring the presence of God. Carrying the presence of God in your heart to this place. Let me pray for you right now. Jesus, I believe you're speaking to us. Of how we adore you, how we live for you, how we give our lives for you. That looks like on an everyday level. Then also how we approach you in worship, our heart of worship. Throughout this week, Jesus, I'm asking that you will teach us where adjustments are necessary. Bring to our attention the gates of our life and what we allow into this very being, so that our heart and soul will exemplify real worship, that we will be a people who know how to carry your presence so that others will be liberated and set free. We pray this in your name. Amen. That was assignment one. I forgot about assignment two. Here's assignment two. Bring somebody with you next Sunday. Invite somebody to the house of worship. Somebody, surely you know somebody that's seeking Jesus. If you don't, beat the bushes, because they're out there. And bring somebody with you into the house of the Lord. Amen? If you wish for special prayer, we have a team that will pray for you this morning. Otherwise, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Some of you need to get your kids But if you would like special prayer, I'm going to invite you to step forward and receive prayer and ministry this morning. God bless you. Have a powerful week as you prepare your heart to be a real worshiper.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.